This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And great opportunity to catch up with the former Houston Dynamo and now at Stoke City, member of the U.S. national team. He's Jeff Cameron. Jeff, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
And always a pleasure to hear your voice. Glad to see you back stateside. Glad to see you guys getting ready for the Copa Centenario. Before we talk about the U.S. national team, though, just give me a little recap on the Stoke season this year in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was overall a pretty solid season for us. We dipped off towards the end, where usually we seem to finish the season, you know, strongly, especially the last two or three months. But I think with just some new guys coming in and, you know, the full season of the Premier League, I think, you know, it took a toll on them a little bit mentally and physically. And I went through that my first year, and it was kind of their first experience. But I think we dipped off a little bit. But, you know, we still finished ninth. It was a weird season overall with, you know, teams finishing where they did and, you know, Leicester winning it. But, yeah, for me, it's another solid season, fourth season in the Premier League, and, you know, played a great amount and you know, was kind of mostly in center half and defensive midfield. So I was, you know, confident overall. I thought it was a good season.
Jeff Cameron joining us here, ESPN 97.5, plays in the Premier League with Stoke City. You remember him in Houston here, and just an amazing story rising to the top of the footballing world. Your manager, Mark Hughes, he has been able to sort of change the playing style of Stoke City, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the way I enjoy playing football. I mean, we get the ball on the ground, we play, we pass and move. And there's times where we need to go long ball, you know, and we need to hold the ball up, and you have to weather the storm a bit. But, you know, we like to play out of the back, spread the team wide when we have the ball. And when we don't have the ball, we condense the field and make it difficult for the teams to play. But for me, I seem to be relishing and enjoying this time playing under Mark Hughes.
All right. The big story, obviously, was Leicester City winning the league title. And I'm just dying to get some of your thoughts, number one, on playing against them. So let's start with that. Playing against Leicester City, what was it that made them such a difficult team, Jeff?
Excuse me, sorry.
You okay?
No, for me, they're a team that just, they were relentless from the first game we played against them at home. You know, we were up 1-0. We gave up a goal in the second half. We gave up a pen. And then we go up and, I think we go up to 2-1, and then they come back and they tie it up 2-2. They have that never say die attitude. They if you look on paper, they aren't the most, you know, world class players and this and that, but they knew their job, they performed, and they worked well for one another, and that is the pure definition of a team. And they showed that to everyone, and it just shows you when the team comes together and they work for one another and they believe in one another, there's amazing things that can happen. And yeah, do I think this is a one-off, and do I think this could happen again? I don't know. But it definitely gives you more belief that anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And, you know, things do happen if you believe in it enough and you work hard together as a team.
Yeah. Do you think that's the message here? In other words, you know, there are a lot of teams that it's all about survival. And you guys are always, you know, sort of on the fringe of trying to get into Europe and maybe going somewhere even deeper and bigger. Does that provide incentive and possibility, what they did this year?
Yeah, we looked at games where you look at like a Atletico Madrid and, you know, a little bit of Tony Pulis' style where, you know, if the ball is further away from your net, the better chance you have of you know, winning the game. But at the same time, you know, you got to be creative. You got to, that only gets you so far. And I think, you know, you look at Atletico Madrid and Leicester, where they defended really, really well as a team. They pressured nonstop. But they had the players, and, you know, when they had the opportunity to put the ball in the back of the net, they did. But it gives other teams like us belief. You know, that you see the guy like Jamie Vardy defending on his 18, you know, in the 82nd minute, and he's doing that all game. That shows you, hey, you know what? If he's doing it, why aren't we doing it? We should be doing that as well, and that should be a given. So it just makes us say, you know, you have to put the work in. And there's games where, you know, they're, you know, you're up and down, you have injuries, this and that. You know, it's a long season, quick turnaround. And it's difficult to do that, but they did that every single game. And you look at that, they're, you know, they didn't really change their lineup much throughout the season because they were pretty fortunate with not having injuries or, you know, guys being called up with the national team or anything like that. But it does give other teams around them belief. Like us, we've been around the European spot for the last couple of years, and we've always seemed to miss out because, you know, we didn't finish the run of form. We gave up goals. We gave up points when we needed to collect points, and we missed out on it. But saying that, you know, they're in the Champions League. They won the Premier League, and it gives you faith. It gives you hope. And, you know, if you believe in one another, stuff can happen.
Jeff Cameron joining us here, Stoke City, U.S. national team. All right, recently you've been paired before, not a whole lot, with John Brooks, but a lot of people are pretty excited about this pairing. Talk to me a little bit about you and John Brooks and how you play as one and some of the characteristics that he brings that you like playing next to him.
Yeah, he's really calm, cool, and collective on the ball. You know, he's not a guy that just likes to clear it out. And, you know, when he's under pressure, you can count on him to get out of the pressure and release a pass to the midfield or the forward. Or the forwards. He's a guy with tremendous potential, and you see it. And I think he's growing more and more into his own, and he's becoming more and more confident. And I think we both have the same style of, you know, we like to pass it around the ball in the back. We like to get the ball on our feet and play. And, you know, it's one of those things where there's games where you have to kick it and clear your lines. And, you can do that, but the first line of attack is when we intercept the ball and we, you know, release it and we try to get to the midfields and the forwards. You break the one or two lines to initiate the attack, and I think he does that very, very well. His forward passes, you know, his looks to get to the ball to the feet early, he's good at that. And I mean, he's overall a great player to play with. I just said to him, we just need to be louder with one another. We need to talk. If you don't hear me talking in the field, then you know that we need to be louder. We need to be constantly communicating and organizing guys in front of us. And it's just communication is key. And, you know, we go from there.
Jeff, how refreshing has it been to get, you know, some new blood into this team, like Darlington Nagby, Bobby Wood, and, of course, Christian Pulisic, joining the team, and then DeAndre Yedlin, who obviously has matured very rapidly.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it just shows that we have some youth coming up, and they're pushing, and, you know, they're getting experience at a young age, and it's great for the U.S. men's national team later on. I mean, they're all young players, and they're getting experience, and, you know, you see the confidence of, you know, a guy like Bobby, my first, you know, when his first year was coming through the national team, he was, you know, he's still shy and he's still quiet, but how much more confident he is playing and how much more belief he has in his own ability. And you see it, and you see that in the games, and it's a great thing to see, especially as a teammate. I'm like, hey, if you get this guy on the field, you know, he's gonna make something happen. He's gonna run their defense ragdoll, you know. And for me, it's good to see because it takes less pressure off of me. So no, you got a lot of great guys coming in, Christian, Darlington. They're confident. They have plenty of opportunities that will be in their career, and they're taking full advantage of it. And you see the skill set that they have is fantastic.
How about the pressure that's been on the team the last year and on Jurgen Klinsmann? Has that been overblown by the press, or is that something that you guys feel a little bit heading into this Copa Centenario?
I don't think it's overblown. I think, you know, we haven't performed as well as we should. And, you know, it's difficult with, you know, guys coming in from all around. We play a lot less games than a lot of other people. And, you know, you have more guys coming in from everywhere, you know, different styles, ages, everything. So, you know, we have a lot of things to deal with, but saying that, those are all excuses. And we know we haven't performed as well as we should, and we've accepted that. And I think so far since the win against Guatemala, we've seemed to turn it around and be more positive and more upbeat and believe in our own ability, and, you know, like, kind of just not let the negativity kind of set in the group and stay positive and enjoy what you're doing. I mean, it's not every day you get to represent your national team and, you know, represent your country in a big tournament like this. Excuse me, sorry. So you just have to, you relish the, you know, the, take advantage of the opportunity in this moment and live it and enjoy it and be excited and don't let the negativity bother you or hinder you in any way. And, you know, we all play our best when you're happy and you're enjoying your football. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you've been able to filter out a lot of that stuff playing in the league that you're in and all the stuff that comes through social media and everything. Some of that pressure is good, and some of it you just got to let roll off your back like water on a duck, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can have the best game of your career, and you'll get slaughtered in the paper or, you know, by people on Instagram, Twitter, or whatever, social media. But, you know, it all comes down to what the coach is saying and what your players believe and how close and tight-knitted your group is. And if you believe in your own ability and you believe in one another, that's when you see some things happen. You see teams going to, you know, the semifinals, the championship, or winning the Premier League. You know, the strength in numbers, that you know, is a cliche of, you know, Golden State Warriors, but it is true. When the team comes together and everybody's on the same page and they're working for the same goal, and everybody sacrifices themselves for one another and a team, then things happen. You know, you don't let the outside stuff bother you or, you know, affect you in any way. You stay positive and you keep doing what you're doing and keep grinding, keep working hard and do all the things that you do that got you to where you are now. And you stay focused and the sky's the limit.
U.S. International Jeff Cameron joining us, and I don't think you've ever forgotten that, have you?
No, I mean, you always got to remember where you come from and, you know, stay humble, stay, you know, blessed, and, you know, you just got to keep working hard and you never stop, because there's always someone trying to take your position. There's always someone trying to take your opportunity and your chance, and you keep working hard. It's the way it goes.
Jeff, last one. I know you got to get to a team meeting. Just talk a little bit about Michael Bradley playing in front of you now and how comforting that is and how that's working.
Yeah, Michael is he's playing in more of a deeper role. He sits kind of in front of the back four. So and he always creates angles for us to get him the ball. And, you know, him just sitting and kind of pivoting in the midfield breaks down the angles for the forwards to get the ball, and us having understanding in a relationship with him, it's easier to communicate. He seems to be relishing that role and really enjoying that a little bit more, the deeper role, because he does like to drop deep and get the ball off the center backs of the back four. So when you give him that space where sometimes when he was high, it was hard for him, you know, to get involved in the game, and you kind of see him drift off. But now when you have Alejandro Bedoya or Jermaine pushing up high, or whoever's up high, when Michael drops deep, he can get the ball and kind of release it to them and find those holes and those gaps for those players to get on the ball.
Jeff, thank you very much for your time. As always, it's always a pleasure. Best of luck on Friday against Colombia as you guys kick off the Copa Centenario. And thank you very much for coming on the program as usual.
Thanks, Glenn. Always a pleasure, bud.
And feel better.
Hey, thanks, man.
All right, don't forget, the Copa Centenario is coming to Houston. The world's best soccer players, Chicharito, Giovanni De Santos, Jaimes Rodriguez, many, many more. 100 years in the making, so it's the 100-year anniversary of this tournament, and this is a special version of it here in the United States. 32 games, 16 teams, one champion, the Copa America Centenario. Don't miss Colombia, Costa Rica, Mexico, Venezuela, semifinal match in Energy Stadium, tickets on sale, ca2016.com. Also, don't forget, summer's here. It means you have to not sweat just watching your favorite soccer team, but also your energy bill. Amigo Energy has a solution for that. You can sign up for Amigo Energy Basics 24, receive a $50 bill credit exclusively for Soccer Matters listeners here on ESPN 97.5. Now, if you're moving, call Amigo Energy. If you're up for renewal, call Amigo Energy. Look up Amigo Energy, switch, and save money. Also, did you know Amigo Energy is a public utility commission 5-star rated provider? That's right. You get both great rates and great service from Amigo Energy. Don't delay. AmigoEnergy.com/Soccer Matters. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters. And sign up for Basics 24 today or call 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. Amigo Energy. For details on the $50 offer, AmigoEnergy.com/Soccer Matters.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Careful. When airborne, pushed to Chara, shot over the top. From end to end, we go here with chances for both the Dynamo and Vancouver.
All right, Glenn Davis here, host of Soccer Matters. Today I'm speaking on behalf of my favorite political party. It's the Bud Light Party. People say the country's divided, that we disagree on everything, but that's not true. We agree on a lot. Like puppy videos. Everybody loves puppy videos. 3-day weekends, free parking, queso and margaritas, Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. You know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light Party and myself every Tuesday night for the best in soccer talk here on ESPN 97.5 and HoustonDynamo.com. That's the place to get your tickets to Dynamo games. Next visit will be on the 18th of June. There'll be a little bit of a break after the Dynamo take on FC Dallas for the Copa Centenario. But then DC United will be at BBVA Compass Stadium, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. And they bring us right now the manager, Wade Barrett. He joins us now. Wade, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Glenn.
Well, this was a quick turnaround. You and I have talked about it before. It was a little bit shocking about Owen heading back to his family. But lo and behold, you guys go on the road. You get a very valuable point. And you take away achieving something against Vancouver that you had not done all year.
Yeah, you know, it was, like you said, it was a quick turnaround. But it was another game to prepare for. And I will say Paul Caffrey and Paul Rogers did an excellent job helping prepare the group for the game. And, you know, we worked really hard in that short amount of time to, really come up with a firm plan for what we wanted to do, and establish a platform on how we want to move forward. And, that's it, Glenn. We established a platform and then the players take it from there. And, the players played with discipline and hard work. I'll say it wasn't perfect, but I think we can learn a lot from the performance, and we can also gain a lot of confidence from the fact that the guys really stuck together and they, you know, played hard. They were tough to play against, and we, you know, we ground out a result. And I tell you what, we were pretty close to pulling 3 points home right there at the end.
Yeah, no doubt. One off the crossbar off a set piece, and then a David Horst, David Osted. That one surprised me. I'm not sure how he saved that to this moment. And Tyler Derrick, good on the other end. Let's talk about Tyler Derrick, though, DeMarcus Beasley. I have looked at the road games this year, and I just at times said to myself, you know what? Somebody has to produce something special here to get you a win. And I thought you had some special plays in this game.
Yeah, I mean, Glenn, you're exactly right. To get points on the road, and you know what, Glenn, to get points at home, I mean, it goes both ways. But you have to have players that stand up, and you're right. They have to make plays. Defenders, you have to defend. Goalkeepers, you have to communicate. You have to make a save every once in a while because, you know, where we are right now, there are some mistakes, and players have to recover from those. They have to try to make sure they don't happen again. But we also have to cover for each other. Someone makes a mistake, someone else ends up making a play. And, you know, that's what I was so impressed with the other night is that, you know, there were mistakes in what we did, but the players got behind each other. They supported one another. If someone made a mistake, someone else stood up and made a play. And, you know, like you said, to get results, that's what you need.
Wade Barrett, Dynamo manager right now, joining us ahead of FC Dallas this Thursday, that game up in Frisco, Texas. It's a quick turnaround. It's a big one. FC Dallas, without a doubt, likely will want some revenge in this. We'll talk about that in a minute, though. But let me talk about Alex on the left side of the field, Bonyan Garcia, DeMarcus Beasley. I'm sure there was a concerted effort by you guys to get them on the same side of the field, and that really reaped some benefits in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, you know, those players are very good on the ball. They're, you know, real technical players. And, you know, we looked at that the day before the game on just kind of going through a couple patterns, patterns of play, kind of looked for three different things that we could do to get behind Vancouver. And, you know, it wasn't exactly as we drew it up, but it was pretty close. And, you know, you get those guys on one side of the field that are all very good players. They can pick a good pass. And, you know, we ended up getting a goal out of it. So, you know, we'll look for those same kinds of things against Dallas, you know, not just on that side of the field, but kind of all around. We'll look for ways to, you know, to break them down and get chances on goal.
All right. So I'm on the outside, and I see Wade Barrett, and I know the wonderful career you've had. You've been an assistant for many, many years now. And I'm thinking, man, this was a guy that was ultra-prepared, ultra-competitive, never left anything short on the training field or the playing field. And I'm sitting here going, well, I sure hope the players can make that simple sort of assumption about Wade Barrett and what he's going to want as a manager.
Well, you know, these players, Glenn, they have no memory of what happened back in the day. It was a long time ago. But, you know, you try to establish that each day that you step in here. And, you know, it's a challenge for the players. It's a challenge for the staff. To, you know, show up and put your best foot forward every single day. And, you know, that's what I'm asking of the players. I'm asking that they come in with a positive attitude. Not everybody's always happy if they don't get the chance to play, but you need everybody to come in with a positive attitude, with the attitude that they're going to work hard, that they're going to do everything they can to get the most out of their training session, their game on the weekend, and their career. And if players are operating under their maximum, they're not doing themselves any favors. They're not doing the team any favors. So what I'm going to ask the guys is, are you getting the most out of your potential? And, you know, that's the challenge, is every day to try to get the most that we can. And, you know, that starts from us. It starts from us as coaches. We got to put the time in. We got to prepare. You know, we can't ask that from the players and not exhibit that ourselves. And I'll say, as long as I'm in charge, I will always exhibit the things that I'm trying to ask from the players.
That being said, is this a little take on what has gone on prior? In other words, and I'm not pointing fingers here, but were you a little disappointed that players weren't giving more, weren't doing more in the time prior before Owen's departure?
Yeah. I mean, Glenn, it's not so much that. You know, but we are where we are, Glenn. You know, I think we all realize that within this group, we have the potential to be in a better position than we are now. And that's just the reality. you know, the standings don't lie. Now, I think that we were unfortunate in a couple games that we dropped a couple points. But, you know, in some other games, we just didn't perform well enough. So all of us, you know, myself included, again, you have to challenge yourself on a daily basis is, what can I do better? You can't just look around and look at everybody else and say, well, he needs to do better and he needs to do this. I mean, we have to look among the staff. We have to look among the players. We have to hold all of ourselves accountable. And every single one of us is in this together. So, you know, right now it can't be, well, this guy needs to do this and that guy needs to do that. We all have to try to get the most out of each other, and we have to try to improve what we do on a daily basis.
How much does Wade Barrett, you know, we all have coaching influences, right? And we replicate the things in many ways the way we were taught. How much comes from Dominic as your former manager? How much comes from Owen? How much comes from outside areas? And how much do you have to look at your coaching influences and make sure, you know, that you are seeking out new and differing ideas? Because, you know, I mean, I do that for a radio show. I remember trying to do that, you know, working as a youth soccer coach for many years.
Right. Well, Glenn, I mean, I will say I'm lucky in my, you know, in my managing career. You know, I worked with Dominic. I mean, I was a player under Dominic for many, many years. And, you know, Dominic's one of the most successful coaches in this league's history. And I look at what Dom did for this team. I mean, you know, Glenn, we were in four MLS Cups and we were in two other conference championships in a pretty short span of time. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's an incredible record. So I've, you know, I had the benefit of learning from Dominic. I've taken, you know, all what I think are the best parts of what Dominic did, and I've taken them with me. Owen, you know, Owen is a fantastic personality. He's a good manager. I've tried to take the best parts of what Owen has provided. But I'm also my own person. I have my own ideas. I have a much different approach than either one of them, although there are certainly things that they did that I will try to replicate. But, you know, like you said, within all that, you have to try to establish the way that you're going to operate things. And I've, you know, that's what's been really good in these last couple years, that I've been able to learn from those couple folks. But I've established my own way, too. And I'm really, really eager to put it in place.
Yeah, and I want, you know, because you have been kind of a quiet guy working for managers now. And, I mean, I was so refreshed the conversation I had with you know, you before this game. So tell the people a little bit, what are maybe some of those differing ideas? And you don't have to get too in detail, but what would be some of those differing things that Wade Barrett brings to the table?
Yeah, well, then, first of all, I'm still a quiet guy. And, you know, that probably won't change a whole lot. You know, I always feel like the work gets done here. And the most important thing to me is, you know, the relationships that get built in the locker room and in the coaching office, and mm-hmm. how all those things intertwine. And, you know, that's not going to change. So anyway, I mean, I am who I am. You know, I do talk about some of the principles that I really feel like the Dynamo have been established on. And those are hard work. Those are discipline. Those are organization. And I don't want us to be the team that we had in the past. Because it was a great era, Glenn, when we won those championships and we were competing for MLS Cups. But it's a different league now, and there's different challenges. There's different players. The league has progressed. We have to progress with it. So I take those basic tenets of what I want to establish with the team, like I said, about the hard work, about competing every day, about caring whether you win or lose in practice every day. When you walk off the field, if you were the winner in a 5v5 game, or if your team outpossessed the other team in possession, exercise. I want winning to matter to the players every single day. And if they don't get that feeling at the end of the day of having won, they should be gutted until they get on the training field the next day. Now, we need to take all of that and we have to progress. We have to use Paul Caffrey and his sports science department better. We have to use our, you know, sports analytics. We have to look at all that stuff and incorporate it in what we're doing at training. You know, all at the same time of just trying to establish a very clear plan for the players on a game-by-game basis about how we're going to go about things. So I really want to delve into kind of the process of improving, and like I said, of improving in every single aspect of what we do. And when we, you know, make minor achievements and we feel like we've gotten to a good spot, then we need to evaluate maybe a new way. We need to try to get better in a different way. I mean, there will always be minor tweaks that we can make along the way to try to kind of push the bar forward.
couple of things, and this is wonderful stuff that you're putting out here. I really am enjoying this interview. You said don't want to be a team of the past, and that team of 6-7, when I'm writing articles for a newspaper, I'm kind of smiling, going, wow, you know, I'm not sure Houston knows what it's getting, and I'm not surprised if there's a couple MLS Cups here, and lo and behold, you guys do it in 2006-7. Unbelievable historic teams. But I do think the franchise has leaned on that far too much.
Yeah, Glenn, there's too much dust on those trophies. You know, we can't talk about that anymore. It's
and that's why I found that refreshing you said that.
What's that?
That's why I found that very refreshing that you said, I don't want to be the team of the past, because we honor the past. But, man, it's been a while, and the league, as you said, has progressed in different ways and is different.
Well, and, you know, we have to adjust with it. So I do feel like, Glenn, that some of those principles that we established with those championship teams should be the principles and the foundation on what we build on. And, you know, that's how I want to drive the team forward. And, you know, one of the main things that I got from Dominic, and he established this from the very beginning, was that there was never a player on our team that got bigger than the group. And I know that the league has changed. I know that we have higher level talent coming in some of these DP contracts. We're getting world-class players that are coming in. But we also have to be careful about how we build the group. And we have to make sure that anybody that comes in here understands that those are the foundations on what we're trying to build here. And as long as they understand that from the beginning and they buy in, then we will have tremendous success with those players that come in.
Wade, great stuff. Last one, a little bit of a word on FC Dallas this Thursday. By the way, that's a game you listening out there can catch on Root Sports this Thursday night. So a little bit on FC Dallas. And, of course, you know, one of the best results of the year was the 5-0 win at home. And I got to think, as professional athletes with pride, they might have a revenge factor.
Yeah, I mean, Glenn, you know, I know there's that out there. Unfortunately, you know, we can't take any of the goals that we scored in that game and apply them into this one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, both teams have moved on, and they've, you know, gone on to be in different places in the season than they were at that point. And you know what? They're a motivated group. They come out to compete every time they play. So, of course, we will expect their absolute best. We'll expect that they come out with, well, you know, they come out with a chip on their shoulders every time they play. They're a good team. So, you know, we have to do everything we can to match that and to better that. And again, to be disciplined and focused for every minute that we play against them.
Wade, listen, thank you very much. We really appreciate getting your ideas, and I want the listeners to get to know a little bit more about you outside of the amazing playing career. So thank you very much, and I wish you the best of luck in Dallas on Thursday.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn.
As always, it's Wade Barrett, Houston Dynamo. What a career he had. By the way, the man is an ultramarathoner, and I'll tell a few stories about that, but this man can run and could probably outdistance anybody on the team. All right, a quick word here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They will bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-588-0383. So you get in an accident, whether it's a car, boat, motorcycle, could be on the construction job, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler driver. The Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you that they will treat your case as if it's their own, and you will have the assurance that they will take some of the pressure off you, and they will fight for your right for compensation. It's a Daspit Law Firm. They work for you 24/7, nights and weekend. DaspitLaw.com, 713-588-0383. They are bilingual. They will fight for you. DaspitLaw.com. We'll take a break. More to come.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Talk about a great guest coming up. I'm not going to give it away yet because first, I'm going to tell you about the world's best soccer players coming to Houston. Chicharito, Giovanni Dos Santos, Jaimes Rodriguez, many more. It is for the tournament that is 100 years in the making. 32 games, 16 teams, one champion. It is the Copa America Centenario. Don't miss Colombia, Costa Rica, Mexico, Venezuela, and a semifinal at Energy Stadium. Some say Argentina will be there. Tickets on sale at CA2016.com. All right, big week for the U.S. Women's National Team. Two games with Japan coming up, and, well, we go right to the top. We get the best. Jill Ellis, the U.S. Women's National Team World Cup winning squad manager, is here. Jill, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Oh, my pleasure, Glenn. Great to be here.
Yeah, always great to talk to you. So let's just talk about what Jill Ellis wants out of these two games against a very competitive Japan.
Well, I think we're, you know, when I had the opening meeting with the players, what I said to them, at this point, it's not about making things more complex or any add-ons. It's about starting to fine-tune. You know, now we've still got a couple of injuries that will, you know, force us to make some adjustments. But I think overall, it's just making sure that we're comfortable. You know, we now have some flexibility in our system. They're comfortable with the nuances of that. And, you know, really just making sure the players are ready to go in terms of just feeling good about, you know, tactical situations. You know, we won't reveal, obviously, set pieces and stuff like that, but it really is. I think we've done a lot in the past, you know, post World Cup, in terms of bringing in newer players, younger players, looking at, you know, slightly different system options so we have some more flexibility. And so I feel good about that. But, you know, and with Carly obviously not being available, Morgan Bryan will be in a limited role. So I think it also still gives me a chance to evaluate a couple of players in some different spots.
Yeah, talk about the infusion of the youth, the timing of that, and why that's a good thing, because it seemed to freshen everything up, and we've kind of heard the same thing on the men's side with Pulisic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a natural part of, you know, of a cycle of an evolution. And, you know, I mean, you have to give tremendous credit to players to be able to sustain and be competitive in this environment for so long. But, you know, the reality is, obviously, with some ladies obviously choosing to have a baby and some retirements, we had some options in terms of bringing in new faces. Spent a lot of time, you know, I'm pretty connected to the youth system, and, you know, spent a lot of time scouting in the NWSL. So we brought in some players that we feel, are they going to be young at this point? Yes, but, you know, you've got to look beyond just the Olympics. You have to look at 2019. And the reason for that is a lot of our players going into Canada, some of those players hadn't played in a major world event. Megan Klingenberg, Kristen Press, they hadn't experienced a major world event. Now my hope is to get some of these other players some experience in an Olympics, so we'll have a major event before they, you know, take a run at the next World Cup. So part of it is just, I think, a job as, you know, as a manager to make sure that you're constantly looking, not just what's in front of you, but making sure that you're competitive down the line.
You as a manager, when you get these fresh faces in, you know, the Pews, the Horans, the Duns now, does that make it a little bit exciting for you? I mean, managers need to be motivated too, right, in their own ways.
Yeah, I mean, I was a college coach for many years, and it is. You get that freshman class in there, and, you know, it just brings a different dynamic because of whether it's personality off or on the field. So, yeah, with some of these players that have come in, you know, you've obviously got some growing pains in terms of getting them prepared for just the, you know, the level, but they also bring slightly different skill sets or, you know, just, again, their personalities. So, yeah, it's good. It mixes it up. I think it's good for everybody involved. I mean, I think complacency is a killer, and I think we're not saying we've been that way, but when you bring new people in that are competing for spots, it makes sure the veterans have to continue to compete, and the young ones are obviously hunting them down. So it's been really good. I think, you know, to tip my hat to our more senior players, they do a really good job of welcoming the players and making them feel comfortable. And ultimately, if they're good enough on the field, there's, you know, there's this respect.
She's Jill Ellis, U.S. Women's National Team coach, obviously ahead of the big Olympics this summer in Brazil. It is a very compact tournament. Obviously, the Olympics is very different. Only 2 weeks, less teams. It's shorter than the World Cup. Does that make you look at things a little bit differently as well?
Yeah, going into Canada, you're looking at games on the turf in the heat. And so, you know, constantly my mantra was, you know, it's going to take 23 players, we're going to need everybody. You're right. It is a very compact tournament and less rest days at times. I've probably got more travel than most teams. You know, we're going to Manaus. We start in Belo Horizonte. You're going to the Amazon, so it doesn't really matter what season it is there. You're dealing with probably humidity and heat. I think the value of your bench has to be really important when you go into an event that's just, shortened, less availability. I mean, the roster's smaller, 23 to 18. So the bench is, you know, the selections of the bench and people willing to come in and make a difference off the bench is huge.
Yeah, only 16 field players. That is very, very differing. How about logistically? I mean, how much, recon do you guys do? And I know you do a lot of it, but tell us a little bit about how you prepare for a tournament in Brazil, how you scout out hotels and obviously set the travel up, because ultimately you're trying to make this as easy on your players as possible.
Yeah, and you know, to be fair, it's probably one of the biggest challenges with this event. So we go down for the draw, and then they give you optional site visits, which both my goalkeeper coach and my general manager were there. Then they provide extensive reports on those facilities, practice venue, game venue. Then my general manager went back just a week ago because now he was looking at the hotels and what things are there. So, yeah, we are very, very detailed. I mean, you know, when you spend as much time on the road, probably like many of our NBA and Major League Baseball teams, the slightest thing from having the right pillow to making sure they get the right amount of rest to having access to ice, I mean, all those little tiny things are important. So we do a lot of stuff behind the scenes to make sure we're prepared. But also, we travel from Belo Horizonte to Manaus, and there's one flight a day, and we have to travel on that flight with all our gear, and then so does our opponent. So are we all going to fit? No. So that's something right now, a thing like that we have to figure out.
Jill, tell me a little bit about sort of the continuation of keeping this team fresh, because I think it's very interesting to me, because every time I interview you, you always mention that not only are you looking at this major event, the Olympics or a World Cup, but you're always looking ahead as to the long-term vision of the team. And I think we've seen in history a lot of coaches lose sight of the long-term, and it just seems like you are on that at all times.
Well, I've had a lot of a lot of time in with the youth teams, and so I know that it's what they're doing at the younger levels, whether it's club soccer or our youth national teams. That obviously directly impacts, what we can do at the higher end of the food chain. But, I just think that, the game doesn't know age, and there are some really talented players out there, and so that's really important. And I guess I don't want to be, I don't want it to be 16 years again. And that's when I finished the World Cup. I had a conversation with our president, and I said, we can look at the Olympics as a standalone event, or we can look at it as something where we're continuing to have this be a builder to the next World Cup. And, are we going to be competitive? Of course. Do we want to be on top of the podium? Of course we do. But, World Cups are also, the premier part of our sport. So we have to make sure that we're also preparing for those at some point.
Well, it's clear you're always looking at the evolving of the team. Let's talk about Crystal Dunn, because after you guys won the Women's World Cup, you brought her in right away. And, boy, has she lived up to the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Dunny, she had a fantastic league season. And Dunny will be the first. And I know she's done very well in the league. And she'd be the first one to say that this is a different environment. It's, it is a different environment. So was she ready? Listen, what I'd say is if she was ready, I'd have picked her. But I think, it's much like Sam Mewis. Sam Mewis needed a year in the league playing with women and constantly in a training environment, building her confidence. And I think for Crystal, the confidence piece, because, yeah, is she the same player? She is. But the difference is her confidence. And I think that's direct result of just having a fantastic league season, where she had to carry her team at times, where she was in a leadership position, where, you know, she had to at times dig herself out of something if things weren't going well. So I think that's been a real big add-on that Crystal didn't have prior to the World Cup. And her first game back with us, I said, you know, what you've just gained from this year in terms of the experience piece, but the intangible, that has to continue. You've got to continue to, you know, believe in what you're doing. You know, and she again would be the first one to say that. So that's why it's so important to have a league, because not only does it vet players, but it gives them a slightly different role. They can be a young player in here on, you know, just maybe coming off a bench or something, and then in there they're suddenly playing 90 minutes every game. So I think that's been the major add-on to Crystal is this piece of confidence in the self-belief part, which is critical at this level. You know, there has to be a certain amount of arrogance in any player that's going to do well in this environment. And I think she's now got confidence in the self-belief, which is fantastic.
How important was it for you, Jill, to make this team a little bit more flexible from a tactical standpoint in the World Game?
Well, it was. It was important. I think, you know, it's every system, you know, has its negatives and positives. And at a certain point, with sort of a shortened run-up to the World Cup in terms of my hiring, what I really looked at is putting players in positions that would maximize what their strengths are. And so you kind of build the system to fit that. Now I think we're in a position where the versatility of our players allows us to have some flexibility. So being able to switch, you know, from a 4-4-2 to a 4-3-3, or, you know, we've even looked at a 3-back in certain scenarios. I think you have to have players that are, you can throw any numbers up on the board, any sequence of numbers. At the end of the day, they have to be able to understand the game and spaces within the game. And that's what it boils down to. And that's why I think we're, you know, at times we'll look like we'll have two in the back because of both our outside backs are pushed on. At times we'll look like we'll have five in the back, maybe because the center mid's dropped in. So there's all this nuance to it. But what we're really looking for is players that can think the game. And, you know, I think this generation that's coming through, they've had, you know, a lot more tactical exposure, and I think it's good. So, yeah, so we have some certain flexibilities that makes us a little bit more nuanced, I think.
Yeah, take that a little bit farther. Do you said you feel like you're getting players with more tactical acumen. In other words, are you getting outside backs now that really understand how to play that position coming from the youth game? Do you get that sense, or is it still the better players are put in more responsible roles and you still got to teach a lot?
It's a great question, Glenn, because, you know, if I talk to my youth coaches, they're still looking for outside backs. You know, and that's because a lot of times in the club game, the best players aren't put in those positions. You know, they're put more central or higher up the field. You know, I think Megan Klingenberg is the quintessential outside back. She can solve pressure in our low build up. She's, you know, great in the final third combining, and she's a heck of a defender. So that's, you know, that's the prototype. If there were one, maybe throw a couple more inches on her, that'd be good. But you know, in all seriousness, she's really the prototype. Well, guess what? Megan Klingenberg didn't start out as an outside back. So, you know, she's someone that has accepted the role, grown in the role, and, you know, with our youth teams, I know she's played there. She had a lot of experience there. So, you know, she's a player that allows you to be able to build. So, yeah, I mean, I think that piece of it, a player understanding, you know, spaces and what's required is a massive part of our flexibility in terms of how we want to play. And, you know, I want us to be a team that can recognize, you know, a runner to a ball in behind and that can also, you know, move the ball through the thirds. I mean, that's a flexible team, you know, and that's what I want us to be able to recognize where the spaces are. We were just talking today, you know, we played Japan some couple of days and we're talking about the scout report and, you know, they've got a new coach. So what are they going to put out on the field? Well, we feel now with our players, they're far enough along that if they play a 3-back, if they play, 4-3-3, they should be able to identify where the spaces are and hopefully problem solve.
Yeah. So two games against Japan, what are you looking to get out of these games? I mean, I know they're quick turnaround. Do you expect to use a lot of players? What can you reveal to us?
Well, at this point, you know, certainly with the, you know, the back four, I think it is building consistency, you know, between them and the goalkeeper. And you say, well, you know, it's very similar players to the World Cup. Yeah, but it's, they're in a different environment. They've been in a different environment for 6 weeks. So, you know, we play an inner squad and we set up for a defending corner. And a couple of players, they don't recall what we're doing because they've just been with their other team 6 weeks and their role was completely different. So it's just kind of re-gelling in terms of what we expect in their roles. You know, without Carly, that will obviously open up for us to look at someone else in the 10. You know, Morgan Bryan, we're monitoring her. She's coming off a hamstring, so she's not available for 90 minutes. I'm hopeful to get a half or maybe 60, 65 out of her. You know, I'll be honest, we've had two trainings out here, and the altitude is, it's a factor for sure. So, you know, we're going to be pressing for 90 minutes. Heck no, we wouldn't have the legs. So, you know, this is going to be a really good game for us because Japan's going to have a lot of the ball as well. And we have to be, you know, still in control, even though we're defending. Talk about that.
Well, Jill, as always, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck out in Colorado for the first one against Japan. And then I'm looking forward to seeing you and having the great opportunity to call your game against Japan in Cleveland. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. Take care.
All right. That's the one and only Jill Ellis, U.S. Women's National Team coach, winning the World Cup. And we were fortunate enough to get her on the program here today. Hey, a quick word here. I want to just remind you again, the world's best soccer players coming to Houston. Chicharito, Giovanni Dos Santos, Jaimes Rodriguez, and more. 100 years in the making. It is the Copa America Centenary, so it's the anniversary. This is a one-off. 100 years. 32 games, 16 teams, one champion, Copa America Centenary. Don't miss Colombia, Costa Rica. That's going to be a good one. Unfortunately, Keylor Navas has had to pull out for Costa Rica, the Champions League winner with Real Madrid, so that's an issue for them already. So there are some issues with injuries and things. Mexico will take on the Vino Tinto of Venezuela in a semifinal match at Energy Stadium. That could very well be, you know, Argentina. Who knows? Likely Argentina. Tickets on sale, ca2016.com. We are one of only 10 cities. That'll do it for tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, the Copa Centenario opens up this Friday night, the United States taking on Colombia. For Tyler Scott, all of you listening in and calling in here tonight, plus to all of our guests, we thank you very much. PodcastArena.com and iTunes for the podcast, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters, and get ready for the return of GlennDavisSoccer.com. Until next time, good night.
ESPN 97.5.